stuff that you kind of need to live a life without a proximity to a screen, if that becomes a luxury, or like, will that sort of become a luxury, like in the next sort of couple of decades of widening internet access, particularly at a time when like, there doesn't seem to be this broader appetite to kind of like rein it in, or at least sort of recognize the internet as like a kind of field of social relations rather than just this sort of tool that kind of delivers constant efficiencies.
Yeah. I think that if you look where I live in Berkeley, California, which you can imagine is both a very wealthy place and a place where a lot of these ideas take hold, and right. It takes many forms. We have a very high percentage of anti-vaxxers, for example, right?
Right.
And they're not like the sort of what the stereotype of an anti-vaxxer would be, right? This is like somebody who drives up in a $80,000 Volvo and like buys all organic food from the farm stand, and then you get 15 minutes in a conversation with them and you're like, whoa, what is going on here? So the idea of sort of, I guess I only find it interesting in the sense that I think that it is a breeding ground for the type of ideas that will eventually become widespread luxury items, right? Like, so like if you look at what Gwyneth Paltrow is doing with Goop, right? Like that is like sort of a, later version of a lot of stuff that starts in a place like Berkeley.
Yeah.
And I do think that from what I have seen, at least, that there will just be a very quiet movement. It will not be that public, but a lot of these very expensive schools, a lot of these places, a lot of these, especially summer camps, places like that, that they will all be billed as places where your child will have no access to any type of internet, and that they will go sit and, hug a tree. And that I will say that given the choice between that and paying all of that money, which, at some point, hopefully I can afford that level of luxury, I would choose that every single time without any real thinking about the dynamics of it. Because for me, the getting the kid off the internet is that important, right? Like, now in terms of sending them to my children go to public schools, or my, one child does, the other one's too young, but he will also go to public school. So I believe in public school system and not buying into this stuff. But man, there's very little that's being done, I think, on the public school front, here at least, to limit phone use. And it's concerning to me. Now, I think that schools are starting to change, right? And I think in 5 years, maybe we'll see that completely normalized across the board. That's my hope. But I don't know. You talk to some parents and they have crazy, crazy justifications for why their children need these phones. The craziest one, I got in a bit of a scrap online about this recently because I just said that I didn't think that middle schoolers should have phones ever in class because I was a middle school and high school teacher and I know what it's like. And all these people came and said that the reason why their kids need phones is because they want to be able to text them if there's a school shooting at their school.
Yeah, I saw this, and I was just like,
that is so fucked up. Yeah. I don't know if I can curse on there, sorry. But it's
no, you
like,
can, yeah, no, no, go
okay.
for it.
That's the most fucked up reasoning I've ever heard in my life. What a grim, grim way to think about your child, right? Like, what a grim way to think about.
I think justification always comes out in like these very fatalistic terms, right? And I think that like, and sometimes that like I've heard like much more bizarre things about that, right? And it's not to sort of say that like, oh, it's kind of like an addict's justification. It's more just to sort of say that like, well, what I was going to say was that I think part of it might also be related to, if you could sort of say that like a child, like there is a healthy amount of usage of a phone, and the current situation is that children and teenagers aren't having that. Parents who also have unhealthy relationships to the internet really have to reckon with the idea that I have an unhealthy relationship to the internet. And I think that like, you have like a degree, I mean, I think maybe you and I are very similar. I can only speak for myself here. I can sort of say that, right? I have a very unhealthy relationship to the internet in the sense of like, spend a lot of time on there. I spend a bit too much time on there. I think it does sort of affect my social relationships. I think like at its worst, which I think was during the pandemic, it like kind of really made me lose a sense of myself physically. And I think at that point I was just like, okay, I really need to sort of figure out and really think about like, what is my relationship to this technology that I use? And like, how did it get to this point and where do I want it to go? But if you're like, I don't know how widespread that is. And so as a result, like, I imagine there are lots of people, parents in particular, who like probably do have unhealthy relationships to screens. But if they were to reckon with like the effects that it's having on their children, they would also have to reckon with the effects that it's having on themselves. And that, I think, is a very difficult thing. I think reckoning with yourself is just like a very difficult thing to do and to ask someone, right? So maybe it's related to that.
I think, yeah, that's definitely part of it. But I also think part of it is born out of what I think is an understandable anxiety about safety and that sense of precarity that people feel, even if it's irrational. And that parents really do want to be able to contact their children at any point in time here in the States. It used to be that the infrastructure for, you know, picking up, dropping off your kids, sending them to a friend's house, everything like that was quite normal and was, you know, it was a responsibility of whatever institution it was. And, you know, it worked pretty well, at least for me growing up and for a lot of people growing up. And now, you know, I think the sense of not the fact that you could contact your child at any point makes the moments in which you can't so anxiety ridden that you fantasize about every single thing that could happen to them. You guys don't have this problem, but we do, where we have these horrific school shootings. And that's like the worst case scenario for all parents. It's something I think about quite a bit myself, because how could you not, right? But molding all of society to deal with that anxiety is not good for the parent, and it's not good for the child to live in such a state of perpetual anxiety and connection.
Yeah.
And that I worry about what it does to kids to always have their parents like to whatever, however long it takes to type out a text message away. Like, I think it would be horrible. I certainly could not have grown up in those types of environments. I would have been absolutely miserable if I couldn't escape my parents every once in a while.
Yeah. And I think it is such a good point. I was thinking about this too, in terms of like, I definitely think that like, sort of a justification does come from like various anxieties. And while we may not have like shootings over here, I think there is still that anxiety about like, what if something happens? Like, what if anything just happens to my child? And that, and I think that sort of reflects things like, you know, being distrusting of teachers or being distrusting of people who care, like who are like supposed to be in positions of care. And that sort of extends to just this broader distrust of other people, which I think does sort of go to explain like quite a lot of like what I sort of view to be very weird behavior whenever sort of the phone issue is confronted, but also watching people like in terms of their sort of how protective they are over their phones or like how central they believe their phone to sort of be part of their life, to the point where it becomes almost like, you know, you have itchy feelings to like not have one. I think like that, I think the anxiety element, you're like really spot on at that point. And I think that's like a universal phenomena. And that anxiety just sort of expresses itself in different ways, depending on like your socio-political context.
Right, right, right. It's so, I see it all the time in terms of the education debates that we have here and the sort of blowups that we have and the culture wars we have around anxiety, around educational anxiety. And part of it is that it's so hard to get into college here now, right? In a way that, and people have put so much effort into getting into these super exclusive schools. And so they feel like every second of their kids' educational life matters deeply, deeply, deeply. And that I do think part of that is because A, they're having what success looks like shoved in their face all the time through social media. But I also think it's partially because this sense that you can always monitor what your child is doing actually spills over to the way in which you think about their education. And I think that that is really bad. I mean, I think that that's A, makes it that I really think about this a lot from a teacher's perspective. And I know that teachers are not the only people in the world, but they are very low paid here and that they do a great public service. And I think they should be respected more than they are. That it leads to basically an anti-teacher mindset, not just from the right, but also from the left, right? From so-called progressives who sort of want constant contact with their teachers as well. And who think that any little lesson that they don't approve of or anything like that, or whether their child takes algebra in sixth or seventh grade, is going to be completely determinative to the person that they become. And I think that that's horrible for the child, you know? I think that giving them no privacy at all and allowing them to just sort of exist in your projection of them, which you monitor every single second that they're alive, I don't know. It's just miserable. I don't understand how anyone even supports that or thinks that that's healthy. I think if they step back and thought about it, that they would realize that they're acting completely insane. But that moment of clarity, I don't think will happen. I just think it'll get worse.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's good to know.
Yeah.